worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship your Lord, we're so thankful for your name that you've written in our hearts and put it in our minds, that we might know you to be the true living God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. If you're thankful for that, folks, would you lift your hearts, your hands and your voices and say, thank you, Lord, you've invested your name in me. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise. They rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the name sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. It's a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. And all the thankful people said, thank you, Jesus. Lift your voices and thank him for the name that's above every other name. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead. Yeah. Sing praise to the Father, Creator and King, whose mercy has taught us a new song to sing. Who made us and loved us, though rebels and lost, and planned our redemption at infinite cost. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
that redeems, for the love that makes whole. Oh, come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him. The Lord is His name. Sing praise to the Savior, Redeemer, and friend, for grace past all telling, for love without end, who stripped off His glory, put on mortal sin, and died in our stead, full atonement to win. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. Oh, come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him. The Lord is His name. Sing praise to the Spirit, the gift of God's love, who quickens our hearts with new love from above, who woos us, subdues us, and seals us His own, and faultless presents us before the white throne. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. Oh, come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship Him. To the Father, sing praise to the Son, sing praise to the Spirit, great God, three in one, the God of salvation, of glory, of grace, who wrought our redemption, my soul sing His praise. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that before Him. The Lord is His name. Sing it again. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. Oh, come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him. The
Hallelujah. Is the Lord good? He is. He's always good. And don't sit down, because we're about ready to sing a hymn, and I'm so excited about that. You know, I woke up this morning, and I can't believe I'm 45 years old, and I never had this thought before in my life, but for years, I've thought to myself, you know, Christmas is such a big deal, and there's all kinds of Christmas, you know, decorations, and we buy into that. Our family loves Christmas decorations and Christmas music. We might have even played Christmas music a little early this year, but don't tell anybody. But I woke up this morning, and I thought, why isn't there Thanksgiving music, right? Has anybody ever had that thought? Why isn't there Thanksgiving music? And immediately, I felt the Lord say, Tim, there's all kinds of Thanksgiving music. It's called worship. It's called worship. There's hundreds of Thanksgiving songs, and it's worship and praise before the Lord, because Thanksgiving isn't just a holiday where we eat turkey and come and celebrate family and football and all those great things and get ready to shop the next day. Thanksgiving is a day where we come before the Lord of glory and say thank you for everything that you've done for me. We're going to sing a great song of Thanksgiving, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's sing that together. Linda, lead us in.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, Thy
That song just wouldn't have been right without the organ. Say amen. Why don't you tell somebody next to you happy Thanksgiving before you're seated? Go ahead and do that. Carmen Quevedo, who is our director of ministry operations and does a whole lot of stuff around here, is going to be receiving our offering this morning. So go ahead and lead us, Carmen.
Ushers, if you'll join me up here. What a great opportunity today is. As a congregation, our tradition and joy is to give this offering away. And we've done this many different ways over the years, but this year we have three very important areas in which we're going to be giving. One, we have adopted Hazeltine Elementary this year and have helped them with restarting their library and a whole literacy program. We actually have some people that are going over and reading to first graders this year, and it's very exciting. And in fact, if you want to do that, we still have some room for some more volunteers in that particular program. Please see me about that. But we're going to be giving them a gift of a book for Christmas this year. Each child, all 800 of them, these are our neighborhood children. And so we felt really strongly that we wanted to continue that partnership and to love on these kids as they focus on becoming really strong, effective leaders and readers. And so we'll be doing that. We're also going to be serving our homeless right here in Van Nuys, and we'll be pouring out to them the love of food and warmth this Christmas season. And so we'll be doing that as well. And then finally, we're going to be partnering with World Vision to provide promise packs for the hundreds of thousands, literally, of unaccompanied minors that have been coming across our borders. And we'll be partnering with them. In fact, what we receive in this offering will be used to purchase the items for the promise packs. And then on December 10th, as a part of our Wednesday night service, we'll be putting together these backpacks with a blanket and hygiene items and school supplies and a note of encouragement from each of you. So please give out of the bottom of your heart. Let this be your moment of thankfulness today as we share. Father God, we come before you now, and we are so grateful for all that you've done in our lives, and we are so, so blessed. And Father, in that, it is out of the outpouring of our hearts that we give today, and we give with great thankfulness, and we give loving you, knowing you desire to lavish your love on others. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. One more thing. While we're preparing this next week, we'll be November 30th, this Sunday, will be our first week of Advent here at the church, which is very exciting. And Brian Bauer will be here with us as our guest worship leader. So that'll be a fun homecoming opportunity as well. Yeah. So we want to encourage you to be with us on Sunday.
Thanks, Pastor. Carmen. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm excited about Christmas. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we're going to have a great, great Christmas season. And starting this week, lighting the Advent candles, having Brian come and lead us, and going on from there. What a great tradition this is. I am so proud of you all for being here on Thanksgiving morning. That's a great thing that we get to come and celebrate and love Jesus and love each other. And somebody said, because we haven't done this in our tradition in churches that we pastored before, so I was giddy about this morning. And somebody said, well, you know, what is it like getting up early on Thanksgiving? And, you know, are you going to miss a whole lot of things? I said, I'm not going to miss anything, because if I wouldn't have come to church this morning, I probably would have been hitting my snooze button until about 10 o'clock anyway. So we're not missing anything. In fact, I think a lot of other people might be missing the spirit of what God wants to do in our congregation today. Amen? God's doing good things. And some churches will do it like we used to on a Wednesday night. We would do it, and others on a Thursday morning. But in any case, starting the day with thankfulness before the Lord, expressing thanks together, is really almost epically biblical. You know, I think of the gatherings, the high holy gatherings where Israel would come together and celebrate. And that's a great thing. Of course, the first Thanksgiving was celebrated a long time ago. And I want to read you something about the first Thanksgiving. It says, the event Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in 1621. This feast lasted 3 days, and it was attended by 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims. 143 people for 3 days. You think your Thanksgiving party is big. Just be thankful that you don't have 143 people crashing for 3 days at your house. The New England colonists were accustomed to regularly celebrating Thanksgivings. It wasn't just one Thanksgiving. They were accustomed to regularly getting together and thanking God. Days of prayer, thanking God for blessings such as military victory or the end of a drought. In fact, maybe when our drought ends in Southern California, as we've been praying, we should call a 3-day party at the church, right? That wouldn't be a bad idea. Then in 1863, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving, quote, thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, to be celebrated on the last Thursday in November. And the holiday has been going on ever since. Now, the way we celebrate it, other countries have adopted this custom. There are some Thanksgivings in other places, but the way we celebrate is uniquely American. And as I discovered when I was 18 years old, I was living in Madrid, Spain for a little while, and with a bunch of YWAMers, and all of the YWAMers, Youth with a Mission is what that stands for. It's young adults that go all over the world and share the life of Jesus. Most of them were from Europe, a couple from Africa, a few from Asia. There were only about 3 Americans in this group. And I started asking around and asking everybody, hey, Thanksgiving is next week. What are we going to do for Thanksgiving? And everybody just gave me a blank stare and said, what are you talking about? And, you know, naive 18-year-old Tim Clark thought, hey, it's Thanksgiving. Come on, we're all celebrating Thanksgiving. And what I found out was that nobody really cared about the last Thursday of November, except for the 3 or 4 Americans. And the story, I won't tell the whole story, but we were adopted by a military family at an American air base, and we got to go have Thanksgiving together. That didn't include a turkey. It had shrimp, but that's a whole nother story. America celebrates Thanksgiving uniquely. But over the next few minutes, I want to remind us that Thanksgiving isn't just a U.S. holiday. It's an essential part of Christianity wherever we're from. The Thanksgiving isn't just a single day, but it's supposed to be a 24/7, 365 reality. Amen? Yeah. Ephesians 5:4 tells us that Thanksgiving is the believer's dialect, our native language. Look at how the Message puts it up on the screen. There we go. It says, Ephesians 5:4, don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. It's our language. It's what we speak. It's what comes out of a Christian's heart. In fact, our native language reminds me of something. I was told that this church has, that we have a tradition of folks saying happy Thanksgiving in their native tongue on Thanksgiving morning. And I don't want to miss that because I think that's a great idea. If you have a language other than English that you grew up with, maybe in your home or your grandparents' home, and you can say happy Thanksgiving. What we're going to do in just a minute is I'm going to have you stand up, and we're going to find a microphone over to you. You're going to say happy Thanksgiving in that language. Now, once somebody has said happy Thanksgiving in your language, then you can sit down. And I know in some languages, we're going to have a whole lot of people sit down as soon as somebody says one. But if you grew up speaking either in your home or in your family, extended family, you grew up speaking a language other than English, and you would like to say happy Thanksgiving to us in that language, would you please stand to your feet? We'd love to recognize you. Okay, and mics are going to start going around right now. We got microphones positioned, and let's do it. Let's do it. And tell us what the language is and then say happy Thanksgiving.
From the Philippines, Tagalog, maligayang araw ng pasasalamat, Panginoon.
Yeah!
French, joyeuse fête de la gratitude.
Yeah.
That was French.
Wow. Yeah, over here, Rick.
Yes, I'm Harik, Ethiopia. My son is going to say it.
In Kwan, Aradas Achu.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah.
Russian. Поздравляю вас всех с днем благодарности. Поздравляю вас всех с днем благодарности. Russian.
All right. Yeah.
Spanish, Feliz Día de Acción de Gracias.
Yeah. Yep, over here.
From Japan.
Right, I'm sorry, right over here on with Harold.
Urobo, Nigeria. Akweogene, Agogo.
Yeah. Pastor Dan.
From Japan, Nyesan, Kansha Shimas, Kamisama.
Yep, right over here.
From Uganda, Okwebazo Kulunji.
Yeah. I'm sorry, just a minute. We need to get your mic on. Go ahead, do that again.
Hello? All the way from Nigeria, Yoruba language. Akwadwenyo Emiwashe Pupo. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right, Rick, go ahead.
From Thailand. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Khob khun phra chao.
You heard the first part in English, but then you didn't hear the second half. So listen to the second half.
Khob khun phra chao ka.
There it is.
Yeah.
Portuguese. Feliz dia de ação de graças.
All right, who else? Put your hand up if we missed you. Here we go, right over here. Harold, go ahead.
Ewe from Ghana, West Africa. Akpadada Ghana Mao.
And let's see, who else we have? Oh, Dan, go ahead.
From India. Sandoshatore Devatananandi Pareya.
All right. Right down here in front.
From Philippines, Ilocano dialect. Naragsak nga aldaw ti panagyaman.
Yay! Right back there.
From Ghana, I'm Ghana Dangbe dialect. Monosinam Hamilipin, Wanasing.
Hallelujah. All right, and over there on that side. Yeah, Rick.
Armenian.
Urachuchunov Devek.
Carol.
Muli, mula sa Pilipinas, maligayang araw ng pasasalamat mula sa lahat ng Pilipino na miyembro ng ating Church on the Way.
Hallelujah. Dan, right over here.
From Israel, Toda Rabba, Yeshua Shile.
Yeah. That is great. Okay, Carmen.
From South Africa, Kia Leboha, Sibongile.
Is there anybody else? That, okay, right over here, Harold.
I will speak in Bisayan, Filipino. Pagsalamat ako sa Ginoo nga gitagaan niya akong taas ng kinabuhi. Pagsilbi sa iya. Basta salamat usab sa akong pagsilbi sa Ginoo nga gitagaan niya ako sa mayan lawas. This I ask thee in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we there? Do we still have more? Wait, where? Harold, are you back there somewhere? Yeah, you're hidden by the camera. Go ahead.
From Benin, Nigeria, Ikwamosa.
Right on. All right.
One more.
One more. We got one more here. There we go.
From Kenya, Swahili, Furaha Shukrani.
Okay. This is amazing. This is amazing. I can't believe this. I'm just blown away. I want to say amen, benediction, go home. This is awesome. In the best sense of the term. Now, did we miss anybody? Did we get everybody? Because that was a lot of people. I love what the Lord is doing at the Church on the Way. That we could have a room that is this size and have so many languages represented, so many backgrounds, so many cultures. It really is truly nothing short of amazing. Now, we all have a native language. We all have a language we grew up with. We always have a heart language. And the Bible talks about that in Jesus, as we become new in Christ, our heart language becomes the language of thanksgiving. But we still have to learn how to speak it. How many of you had to learn how to speak your language when you were growing up? Okay, all of us should raise our hand, because you all had to learn a language. And thanksgiving doesn't come naturally to human beings. When I was raising my kids, and I was teaching them their first words, I hesitate to say, and I hate to say this, I know you all think that pastors' families are perfect, but my kids' first words was not, thank you. It was not thank you. It didn't just come out of them naturally. It was just thank you, mother and father. My kids' first words, I mean, not first words, but among the first words my kids, I didn't even have to teach them. There were words we taught them, but one day a word would come out of each of their mouths as they were young, and I thought, where did they learn that word? They must have learned it from their mother. And it wasn't a four-letter word, it was a two-letter word, and the word was no. No. That was the first, that just came out naturally. We didn't have to teach no. But how many of you have had little kids, maybe your kids or nieces, nephews, kids in your life, and you've had to say, give them something and say, now what do you say? And they say, thank you. Now what do you say? Thank you. Thank you is a language that is learned. It actually goes against our human nature to be thankful. But it's part of our redeemed nature. So we have to learn how to speak thanksgiving even as Christians. And we say, Lord, I want to submit myself to the process of learning this language of thanksgiving. How do we do that? I want to share a couple of ways to do that. First, in Psalm 100, we learn how to speak thanksgiving through worshiping the Lord. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Amen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is the key to entering the Lord's presence. It's a key into an understanding and an experience of God's presence. You know, when you have a key, you can get into doors that are locked. I got here this morning and
there were some doors that were locked that I thought might should have been open. And so I had the key. And so people were waiting at the door. I was able, they said, "Hi, Pastor." I got to take the key out and open up the key, and we were able to come into the sanctuary. But when we hear about keys to entering the Lord's presence, sometimes we can picture that as a God who's standing distant, who's keeping the door shut, who's saying, "You know what? You don't get to come and be with me until you do a little bit of Thanksgiving, and then you can have the key, and then maybe you can hang out in my presence." That's not the picture that the Lord wants us to have at all. When the Bible talks about the entering the Lord's presence with thanksgiving and entering his gates with praise, I truly believe that the picture is more like us standing in a room, our own room that's locked from the inside. And our own hearts are locked up against the Lord's presence when we're not thankful people, when we're not gracious, when we're not praising the Lord, when we're not coming before him with songs of thanksgiving, with hearts that are open to him. We lock our own hearts out from the presence of the Lord. And it'd be like if I was sitting in a room that was locked from the inside and I had the key and I refused to use the key to open it up, but I would say, "Hey, how come I can't get anywhere?" See, the Lord says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. And that key that we have, that learning how to be thankful, is a key to opening up our hearts to encounter the presence of the living God. You know that? When we come before him with thanksgiving, instead of with all of the worries and all of the stress and all of the problems, all of those things we can carry into the presence of the Lord, because God says he'll take those things from us. He will meet us in the middle of those things, but we can come to him with thanksgiving. A thankful and a worshipful heart opens us up to his life. And in his presence, we learn to be thankful, because there in his presence, we're in awe of his grace and his provision and his love and his mercy, and all of the things that God gives us. Isn't it, do you find it when you're in the Lord's presence, do you find it easier to be thankful to the Lord? Because you recognize who he is and what he's done for you. We come before the Lord and we say, "Lord, I'm going to learn to thank you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. Even if I don't feel like it sometimes, I'm going to come in and I'm going to declare, Lord, I'm going to worship you because you're worthy, not because I feel like it." And as I learn to worship the Lord and I enter into an understanding and a sense and experience of his presence, I'm telling you, it's in that place where thankfulness can start to pour out without even trying. It's just there. I thank God and I'm opening to his presence. And it's kind of a virtuous cycle, because when I thank God and open to his presence, then in his presence, I find more reasons to thank God. So I come before the Lord and I thank him, and then I realize that there's even more reasons to thank him. And I start to, it becomes not a downward cycle, it becomes an upward cycle. Let's learn how to thank God in praise and worship. There's a great old Jewish custom that I heard of once. And somebody said that before we ask God for anything, we start thanking God for everything. What if before we ask God for anything, we started thanking God for everything? That's why so often in worship, you'll come to the church and we'll just start praising the Lord. We'll lift up our hands. We'll lift up our voices. That's one of the reasons it's important to lift up our voices. You know, in kind of modern worship, there's a lot of something really good that goes on, because it's part of worship to the Lord, and it's in the Bible. It's clapping, right? We love to clap for the Lord. Amen? You like to clap for the Lord? We do. And we do it, and we clap, and we're excited. But what I find sometimes is we use our hands and we clap to the Lord, and somehow as our hands are clapping, our mouths stay shut. And so our hands become the substitute for what the Lord wants to do, as we're expressing praise from our hearts, not praise that comes on a PowerPoint that we can read. That's good too, because we're all in the same boat worshiping the Lord together with the same song, and I love that. But there are very appropriate times, and we should be doing it not just on a Sunday or on a Thursday morning and Thanksgiving, but every day, learning to come before him with thankful hearts, verbalizing that thanks to the Lord. And we learn to do that together, because as we come before him with thankful hearts and thankful lips and excited about what God's done in our lives, we learn how to be thankful people and how to speak thanks. The second thing, we learn to speak thanks through generous lives. When we were having our first child, Caleb, I told Caleb I was going to talk about this, and I warned him. So the deal we have with our kids is that if I ever use an illustration with them in it, then I get to pay them a little bit of money. They get a royalty from the illustration, but they don't get residuals. So Don't get that. However, the deal is that if I use an illustration of them when they were little and before they can remember it, they don't get anything. So this is one of those. Sorry, Caleb. Caleb was born. He was a little baby. He was born, and I won't give you the whole story. Someday I'll go into all of that story. But I mean, I got to tell you, as a new father, I couldn't love somebody or something anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, and I know this is really silly, and you might laugh at me for admitting this, but when we got pregnant with our second child, who ended up being Johnny, I secretly worried that I loved Caleb so much. How could I possibly have any more love to give to a second child? Now, am I the only parent that's ever had that thought when you were young? I guess I am. Okay, so we're just making this a therapy session for me. All right. How could I possibly love a second child? Because I have all this love. Am I going to take any of the love away from my first child? And something miraculous happened when my second child, Johnny, was born. I loved Caleb just as much, if not more. And I loved Johnny just as much, if not more. And the same thing happened with the third child. See, love isn't an infant. It's not a resource that stops. It's not a resource that is limited. It's an unlimited resource, and when you love somebody, you don't have to love them enough, and you can't love somebody else, and you have to parcel out your love. The more you love, the more you have the capacity to love. Amen? Okay, so here's what I find out, is that when I give away my life, when I give away my love, when I give away my energy, when I give away even my time and my money and my stuff, somehow the Lord makes my life available for an opening of more of his blessing. I make room in my life for God to give me more so that I can give more. So instead of hanging on to everything and saying, no, it's mine. No, I need to hang on to it. No, I can't possibly give that away because I won't have any left. The Lord says, trust me. Trust me because I can give you the resource, any resource you need. As you give it away, you're going to make more room in your own heart for me to give you more so that you can give away. And here's another virtuous cycle. I give away so that I can get more, so that I can give away, and I get more and I give away. And I continue to give my life, my love, my time, my energy, my grace to people. See, I believe then that just like praise unlocks a door to my heart so I can welcome God's presence, generosity makes room in my life for more of God's blessing. 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 6 and 8 and 11 says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And God is able to bless you abundantly, in verse 8, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, say all with me, all, you will abound in every good work. In verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Our generosity results in thanksgiving to God. Our worship results in thanksgiving to God. If we want to learn to speak the language of thanksgiving, believers, we worship the Lord, we live generous lives, and I believe that unlocks a door for us to live thankful, thankful lives. Okay, what do I want us to learn today before I dismiss you? Here's the takeaway. I would love it if every person in this room took a day, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, very soon, and decided that all day long, instead of complaining about anything, that you were going to be thankful in everything. That you looked for an opportunity all the way through the day. Instead of being mad that the person cut you off, you're thankful that you have a car to drive. Instead of being frustrated at the food before you, you're thankful that you have something to eat. Instead of being angry or mad or frustrated or whatever it is that happens with a family squabble, you stop and laugh to yourself because God has provided you with rich relationships. That we would be thankful people, that we would adopt an attitude of gratitude. Try it for a day, and I guarantee you, your life starts to change. Your life starts to change, and you realize you don't ever want to go back to the old way. And when you find yourself getting sucked back into the old way of complaining and grumbling and arguing, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and say, wasn't it better when you were spending your whole day looking for things to be thankful for? See, I believe that a Christian being thankful is the mark of Jesus in their life. that we can be thankful people and grateful people in the middle of all kinds of turmoil and all kinds of mess and all kinds of stuff in the world that we could have to not be thankful for. We look for those opportunities.